Good evening. That's, all right. Well, welcome to Calvary Chapel of the High Desert. It's nice to see everyone. If you have a Bible, you want to go ahead and open it up to a small little Old Testament book, Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, a kind of a familiar story or book of the Bible. Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. The title of the message this evening is Why Are You Running Away? Why are you running away? Jonah chapter 1. We're going to look at just three verses, verses 1 through 3, and our time together this evening. So here we go. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Will you bow for a moment of prayer? Father, we thank you for everything that you have given us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come this evening to your word. We can open it up and, Lord, we can discover truth for our life. We can discover who you are and what you desire of us. And Lord, as Jonah is truly a book about your great mercy towards your creation, I pray that we would be able to look at Jonah and the decisions he made, and Father, be sure in our life that we are not running away from you, but rather we are running towards you and towards the things that you have put before us. Thank you, Father, that you have prepared good works beforehand, that we would walk in them. So, Father, may we learn to be men and women that walk closely with you and obedient to you and are used mightily for your glory and your honor's sake. And so be honored in our time this evening. Thank you for the sweet time of worship as we come together in one voice to sing your praise. But open our ears and our heart, open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. We can find ourselves running either to something or running from something. Think about it. To run from something, you would find yourself maybe running from harm. If you saw something going on at a public place and there was concern for your safety, or even here, you might find yourself running. If an earthquake happens, we want to run out of the building for our own safety. Or we find ourselves running to things, right? You find yourself waiting in line for something to open, or waiting in line to be the first at an event or to get a good seat, and you might find yourself running in to get the good seat, running in to secure the item that you want. We had those moments, a year ago, where you'd never thought you'd find yourself running through Costco for toilet paper, but it was a real sprint, right? We either run from or run to. I think of those moments where we may run to help somebody, right? If you hear something from down the hall, a child or a spouse going, I need your help, you might get up quicker than usual and run to their help. Or there's moments where we run to get away from something. You know that someone is coming to the office or going to show up to the job site, and you try to avoid them like at all possibility. You see their name on the appointment book, and you may find yourself running to a different part of the site, or running home, as it were, quite possibly, just simply to get away from them. We either run to or we run from. This evening, if you were to look at your life, would you say you're running to the Lord and what he's called you to do? Or are you running from the Lord and in disobedience to maybe what he's put before you? We come in these opening verses of Jonah to a story that is actually rather well known, right, of this prophet of God that is called by God to go to the city of Nineveh, this great, magnificent city, and to preach to them about their coming destruction. We know that Jonah doesn't run towards the things of God, but actually runs from the Lord and ends up in the belly of a great fish. He ends up being vomited up on the seashore, and then finally, after his reluctance, goes to Nineveh to deliver God's message. The Ninevites are remorseful and repent, and Nineveh goes out and complains and moans and groans about God's mercy. Well, that may be just a quick overview. I want you to put your attention on the scripture and see really what it's like to run from the Lord. As we look at this, I want to kind of break it up into just three little sections, and then I'd like to give you three warnings to prevent you from running away from God. So kind of the first little structure of our verses, we're going to see the character. That will be Jonah. We'll see the commission, the call that God gave him to go to Nineveh. And then we'll see Jonah's conduct, how he responded to that call. And then we'll draw our attention to three warnings to prevent us from running away. All right, so let's look at this. We have first our character. It comes to us in the first verse. Now the word of the Lord came to who? Jonah. A well-known Old Testament name, Jonah, the son of Amittai. You find in this character, Jonah, that Jonah is not only mentioned here in the book of Jonah, but he's also mentioned in one other place in the scripture that gives us a little detail on who he was. In 2 Kings chapter 14, we find that this man, Jonah, is listed in the scriptures. At this moment where Jeroboam, the king, restored the boundaries of Israel, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel spoke through his servant, listen to this, his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet from Gath-Hepher. Listen to this, this character of Jonah, you see some things about him. One, he's a servant. This is a man, and being called a servant means that he was set apart for God's use. So like he has a book in the Bible because he is a servant of God who, when it came to it, I want to do what God calls of me, what God wants me to do. When the master, God says, go, I want to go. You see something else about him. He's also referred to as a prophet. This is a character who's not only a servant of God, but he's a prophet of God. That means he's specifically called to be God's mouthpiece. He shares God's message. He delivers God's word to the people. He's God's spokesman. So, like, understand if there's anybody that should be running towards God and the things of God, should it not be the servant of God? Should it not be the prophet of God? To go even further, he has this very special name. He's Jonah. If you look at verse 1 and you see that name Jonah, it means a dove. If you think throughout the Old Testament and you think about how precious and important a dove was and the symbol and the representation of a dove, you might think of the dove that Noah sent out and remember the wonderful message that the dove brought back to Jonah Noah in Genesis chapter 8. He brought back that olive branch, the sign that the waters from the flood had been receding, that dove brought a message of mercy, brought a message of grace. And so here you have this man who, look at his character, he's the servant of God, the prophet of God. Even in the orchestration and the picking of his name, Jonah, that precious dove, and then you find that he's the son of Amittai, that he is this messenger, as Amittai means truth. You have a man who should have this character of bringing the truth of God, doing the work of God, living according to the truth of God, this wonderful character. And look, secondly, you see his commission. I mean, it makes sense why God would come to him, right? He's God's servant. He's God's spokesman. He's even marked with that name as that, you know, dove and that son of the truth. And so no wonder God comes to him and says, hey, I want you to get up and I want you to go. The commission is actually rather simple. It's simply go and preach. Go and share a message. Look at it in verse 2. It says, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it. For their wickedness has come up before me. Look at how simple the instruction is, the commission to go and to cry out against. To go and to bring this message that God gives, a simple message, a clear message to a people that badly need to hear it. We have a commission, do we not? The Great Commission to go and make disciples, to baptize them, to instruct them. And here Jonah is given a simple commission to go and to preach. Look at how clear it is. Look at how simple it is. If you went to chapter 3 and you look at verse 40, you see how simple his message was. You find in the end of verse 4 in chapter 3, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be what? Overthrown. It's a simple little commission. Jonah, I want you to get up. I want you to go to the Ninevites, this great city, and I want you to just simply tell them day after day as you move through the city, you have 40 days and judgment is coming. Just let them know what the consequence of their sin is, and I'll do the rest. A basic, clear commission, a simple instruction, a sermon that is but a simple sentence repeated over and over again. But understand, as you look at verse 2, there's a great difficulty for Jonah in this commission. Look at where he's being called to go. He's being called to go to a place called Nineveh. This is like the capital city of the Assyrians. This is enemy territory. You see, Jonah's known in Israel as the servant of God and the prophet of God. You even see that when he was used as a prophet of God in 2 Kings, he talked about and prophesied about the expanding of the borders. Like, that's good news. But this commission, Jonah's being called to go into enemy lines, to go amongst a people that will eventually overtake the Israelites and preach to them. Alec Motir writes it this way, to denounce Nineveh in Israel would have guaranteed Jonah's popularity, but to be called to denounce Nineveh to the Ninevites was unthinkable. In calling Jonah to go to Nineveh, God was calling him not only to face the unknown, the harsh criticism of his own people, ridicule, humiliation, and the relinquishing of his worldview, but also to venture alone into the most feared and hated place in order to show God's concern for his enemy. It gets a little difficult. Simple message, you got 40 days. Like a parent does that with his children or with her children, like goes in, you've got 40 minutes to handle your business, right? You got 5 minutes to make your bed. You got 10 minutes before the bus comes. Like, simple message, but look at how difficult it gets. God is calling him to go to Israel's nation, or enemy rather, and to proclaim to their enemy that God's concerned about them, that God will deal with them. I'd put it this way. We know the last couple of months in kind of the America's place in the world has been a little under fire, specifically in our leaving of Afghanistan, right? There was a lot of effort to try to get out every U.S. or allied person out of Afghanistan as we were pulling out. But this is what it looks like for Jonah. This is commission. God is asking Jonah to go now and fly into Afghanistan and to preach to the Taliban. Do you see where it changes? Do you see where it's like, like I've seen the things on YouTube, I've heard what they do. That's what God is asking Jonah to do. Go to Afghanistan and preach to the Taliban and tell them they have 40 days. So you can see where it might be clear, but it's difficult. And now notice the conduct of Jonah. In verse 3, we see his conduct. Look at this. He's given a very clear message. Go to Nineveh. Preach. There's your commission. But, verse 3, Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish. From who? The presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, if you look very carefully and you see there in verse 3, there's a lot of verbs that are used in the original language to indicate Jonah's hustle. Like Jonah responds in a quick fashion. Jonah is not dragging his feet when it says that he arose, when it says that he fled, when it says that he was to go down or went down. All of this is quick action. Jonah is working and hustling in what he is doing, but notice his conduct. Is he fulfilling the commission God gave him? Is he running to the things of God? Is he running to the Lord? No, rather you find in his conduct all of this hustle, all of this energy, all of this quickness is in an attempt to run away from the Lord. Look at verse 3. You see twice there that he's trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. Do you see that at the beginning? Do you see that at the bottom? It's kind of wrapped in. He's trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. And what he is doing it quickly. Like that moment where you get a new helper or a new employee at work, and you know that difference when you get a new employee and they hustle on the job site, right? Like you ask them to get something or grab something, and they do it quickly, and you're like, man, I like this hustle. Jonah has this hustle, but when you look at it, it's a hustle to get away from the commission of God. The difficulty has brought a fear, has brought a concern, has brought really, truly a revelation of a major heart condition with him. But look at his conduct. God says go, and Jonah says no. Do you see his conduct? He wants to leave the Lord. He's acting in disobedience. He's acting in rebellion against God. Think of how hypocritical that is. He's the servant of God, the prophet of God, the dove of truth, but yet what do you see here? He's living in open rebellion, going, God, I know you said go, but I'm saying no, and he wants to leave the presence of the Lord. Look at what you find. He pays for the fare. He does everything, investing his own money for his transportation. He goes at the cost of even his own life, as later on he will find himself on this ship in a great storm and thrown overboard. Like look at what happens when we conduct ourselves in a way in which we run from God. It'll always cost us. Donald Gray Barnhouse says this: it was always that way. When you run away from the Lord, you never get to go where you are going, and you always pay your own fare. On the other hand, when you go the Lord's way, you always get to where you are going, and he pays the fare. Look at him paying his fare to get away, and you see here the bad decision that he's making. He is literally going in the opposite direction of Nineveh. He is going in the opposite direction of where the Lord wants him to go. He thinks he's going in the opposite direction of the presence of the Lord. Here's what's so crazy about this decision. It's open rebellion against God and disobedience. But even just on a basic logic, it doesn't make sense. Jonah is a Hebrew, and he's going to Tarshish. Tarshish is like a year's trip away from his hometown. And on top of it, he's going to a place that Tarshish is filled with sailors and seamen, like people of the sea and the ship. Hebrews have nothing to do with that stuff. Like he is literally, it's like taking a city person and dropping him off on a farm and saying, have fun. And they're asking, like, where's the local mall? We've got cows. Like, that's how crazy this is. He's absolutely in his conduct making bad decision after bad decision. It makes no sense, and he has to pay the fare. It's out of his pocket. It costs him greatly. So let's pause for a moment and think about in your own life. Think about maybe your character. Would you say that you're a servant of the Lord? Like, could you say, okay, yeah, I've understood what Christ has done for me. I've put my faith and my trust in him. I've surrendered to him. Are you his servant? Could you go and say, you know what? Yeah, I understand the truth because I am a follower of Jesus, and I know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Like, can you come and say, I know what it is to be God's messenger. He's given me his word, and I clearly am taking it serious enough that I'm here tonight where I know we're going to open it up. Like, you look at your character in that sense and who you say you are. Does your conduct match that? Can you say in how you lived in this last week, or maybe even in just today, that you have been running to the Lord and that you have been obedient before the Lord with the things he's placed into your life and into your responsibility? Or do you find yourself running away? Are you kind of backing up? Are you kind of paying your own fare? Remember how Barnhouse put it? You always will pay your own fare, but if you do it God's way, he pays the fare. I think that's wonderful when gas is $5 a gallon. Oh, this is a great run. Like, he provides, he takes care of us when we as his people walk according to his will. Now look at this. I want you to see some truths in Jonah here as he's running away. I want you to see the warnings that are present. There are three warnings to prevent you from running away. If you kind of go, man, there's some things that God's made clear, but I find very difficult, and you want to run away from them, there's three warnings for you this evening. Warning number one, you can't hide from God. Like, you'll see this in Jonah very clear. You can run, but you can't hide. Second warning, you can't pick and choose faithfulness. You can't pick and choose when you're going to be faithful, when you're going to be that obedient servant of the Lord. You can't pick and choose. Big warning. Am I choosing when I want to obey? The third warning. You can't follow your heart. You can't follow your heart. This is major in today's society where we see so many people going, I just want to follow my heart. I'm doing it because it just feels right to me. It's my truth. And I'll show you your heart in Jonah here. So let's look at these warnings. We have a man who's, you know, the character, we look at him, the servant of God, the prophet of God, the messenger of truth as it is, right? But yet his commission, simple, go to Nineveh, preach, and he chooses to run away. The exact opposite direction, try to make it a year's journey away in rebellion to God, and look at these warnings that we find. First, you can't hide from God. You can't hide. You see where it says that Jonah, verse 3, he arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord? He's trying to travel thousands of miles from Israel to Spain. He's going to Tarshish, remember, a place where he would know nothing. He would be different than everybody else. But here's something. The prophet Isaiah gives us a little insight into Tarshish. Remember, it says that he's going to Tarshish. Why? To get away from the presence of the Lord. Well, the prophet Isaiah says this in Isaiah 66, verse 19, to Tarshish, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. You hear what Isaiah is saying about Tarshish? This is a place that just didn't know about the Lord. And the servant of the Lord is not going there to tell them about the Lord, but rather sees it as a safe place because they don't know him. You can run, but you can't hide. He's trying to flee. He's trying to get out of the way. But listen, Scripture's made it very clear. You cannot hide from God. Listen to what the psalmist says. In Psalm 139, in verse 7 through 12, the psalm, The psalm writer makes it very clear, where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? Do you hear it? Where can I hide? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shall shine as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. You can't hide from God. Put it another way, God is the absolute worst person to ever try to play hide and seek with. Absolute worst. And look at how it pans out in Jonah's life. Go ahead and look at Jonah chapter 1, and I want you to see how in every chapter we have this reminder, you cannot run from God. Or you can't hide from God. Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, look at what happens. But the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea. He's on that ship to Tarshish, but guess who's like, I see you. Verse 4, the Lord sent out. Right? Go to verse 17 of chapter 1. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Jonah, even at the bottom of the sea, I know I prepared that great fish. Go to chapter 2. Look at verse 10. So the Lord spoke to the fish. You can't hide from him. The Lord spoke to that fish that the Lord prepared, that the Lord sent. And look at as he spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Had to have been an interesting conversation. Go to chapter 3. Look at verse 10. You can't hide from God. Then God saw their works. This is the Ninevites, that they turned from their evil ways. And God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Now go to chapter 4. Look at this. Can't hide from God. In chapter 4, in verse 6, it says, and the Lord God prepared a plant and made it to come up over Jonah that he might be that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But even when Jonah gets out of the city and he goes up to watch it, what do you see? God saw him. God prepared this plant or this vine. Go to verse 7. Look at this. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm. It does not matter how hot it is outside, what time of the day it is. It doesn't matter how early or how late it is. Look at this. You can't hide from God. He prepares this worm. He knows exactly where he's at. Look at verse 8. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vehement east wind and the sun beat on Jonah's head. Do you see how you cannot hide? He saw their works. The Lord God prepared. The Lord God prepared. God prepared. God prepared. The Lord had prepared. Do you see? You can't hide from him. Do you know that God has prepared for you a sacrifice? I mean, like, take it into consideration here. You can't hide from God, and look at what God has done. God has prepared a sacrifice to make you right with him. God has prepared, and he has given his only begotten son. Christ has come down and died in our place. God has given his son as a sacrifice for our sin, for our running away, to welcome us back in. Like, you can't hide from God. The Lord God has prepared. Now, look at the second warning sign for us this evening. You can't pick and choose faithfulness. You can't pick and choose faithfulness. In verse 2, you see the instruction, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Right here, something happens between God and Jonah. Right here, you have this clash of the wills. As Sinclair Ferguson writes, he says, when God spoke to him on this occasion about this particular matter, God's will and Jonah's came on to a collision course. God's will is that he go to Nineveh. Jonah's will is that he goes in the exact opposite direction. It's that idea, is it his will be done or my will be done? Now remember, think about this. You have with Jonah here really truly kind of that battle that is within all of us. Like his flesh is battling here and waging war. Jonah wants what's good for him. Jonah wants what makes him feel good. Jonah wants to do his own will. It is a kind of a battle of the flesh with the will of God. The Bible speaks of it in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. Paul writes this to the churches of Galatia. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Like, we know that battle. I mean, it happens in that moment. Like, it happens for maybe some of you, if you are like me and you just have an craving and a love for cookies, you might find yourself with cookie dough, fighting that desire. Like, do I just stick my finger in it? I found myself, it's kind of awkward to tell my kids, get out of the cookie dough when my fingers have cookie dough on them. But like I said, that battle, I want it. Look at this. Jonah wants to stay away from Nineveh. Jonah wants to do the things that are easy. He wants to speak the things that are good. There's this battle here. You find in Jonah's life, though, he's trying to pick and choose where he wants to be faithful. Remember, I mentioned to you that in 2 Kings, he was mentioned in chapter 14. He's mentioned as a servant of God. He's mentioned as a prophet of God. And he's mentioned in sharing a good message to Israel, like sharing with the people of the expansion of the borders. Like he was the prophet that brought good news. And in that moment, Jonah's like, yes, I'm going to do it. Like, he totally loves the good cop role, but the bad cop role, he's like, I'm not going to do it, God. He picks and chooses. It's to my people, the people I love, the people I care about, the people that really think highly of me. I'm there. It's a good message. I'm there. But notice here, he's running away from the difficult message that God is putting before him. Look at how simple it is. It's simply arise and go to Nineveh. I want you to take into consideration some goes that God gives us, and just ask yourself, am I picking and choosing faithfulness? You find these moments where we, as God's church, are given some commandments to arise and go, and you got to ask yourself, like, am I choosing to be faithful? Am I picking and choosing, like, well, I'll do it here, but I'm not going to do it there. It doesn't fit into my timeline. I don't really like what it does for the rest of my week. Are you simply going when God calls you to go? Listen to these things. God calls us to go. To go for forgiveness. You find in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 23 through 24, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in the front of the altar and first go. Go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Like, am I choosing when I'm going to be faithful? See, God says to you, just like he did to Jonah, he said, go to Nineveh. God comes to you and says, go for forgiveness. Are you dealing with issues in your life? If you have a brother or sister that has wronged you, will you put your Bible down in the pew and go to them before the start of service and seek reconciliation? Do you go for forgiveness? Are you ignoring text messages? Are you sending people to voicemail again and again and again? They're thinking like you've got bad reception or you didn't pay your bill because you're ignoring them again and again and again. Look at this. You can't choose when to be faithful. God, just like he tells Jonah to go to Nineveh, God says to us to go for forgiveness. whether it's a friend, family member, a church member, whether it's a fellow coworker, whether it's maybe a boss or a supervisor, go for forgiveness. Can't choose faithfulness. You know, the scripture calls you to go for service. In that same Sermon on the Mount message, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 41, if someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him how many miles? 2 miles. Like go for service. Go the extra mile. Am I choosing when to be faithful? Like, okay, yeah, I'll go the extra mile for my really close friends, or I'll go the extra mile for a boss because I'm hoping he actually grants my vacation requests around Christmas and Easter, and so I go for that. No, simply Jesus says, if they force you 1, go for 2. You can't choose faithfulness. We go for forgiveness. We go for service. Are going for service, think about it, we need to do it for the least of these, the ones that cannot repay, the ones that cannot compensate, the ones that are desperate, and doing it for the least of these is doing it for Jesus. You can't choose when to be faithful. You find the scripture says we're to go for evangelism. Remember Jonah's simple little commission? Go and preach. Go and tell them you have 40 days. Jesus gave us as a church this great commission to go for evangelism, to go for discipleship making, to go for the building of the body of Christ. In Matthew 28 and verse 19 through 20, it says, therefore, go. Like, do you hear it? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Like, do you hear it? Go and make disciples. We can say, I'm faithful to go to church, but am I being faithful to go and take the message of the church, to take the message of Jesus outside? Like, do you see? You can't choose. Like, I'm faithful to come here, but are you faithful to go for forgiveness in all opportunities? Are you faithful to go for service in every moment in front of you? Are you faithful to go for evangelism? We can't pick and choose when we want to be faithful. Jonah, in trying to choose when to do it, his disobedience lands him into one reminder of God after another of disobedience. The great storm that he lands on that shocks even the sailors, and God is merciful to the sailors and merciful to Jonah. As Jonah's thrown overboard and he's kind of sinking in the sea, God appoints this great fish to swallow Jonah. And you see even God, you know, kind of showing him in his rebellion. I can guarantee you 3 days and nights in a belly of a great fish is much worse than even a 3-night stay in a shady Motel 8. But look at this. We're called to go. Look at the final warning. You can't follow your heart. You can't follow your heart. This is a message that we badly need to hear, because you really find at the core there's a major heart issue with Jonah, and Jonah's trying to follow his heart at this moment. The Bible makes it clear to us in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Your heart will deceive you. Your heart will trick you. Your heart, apart from a work of Jesus Christ, is wicked, deceitful, lost, and on a path of destruction. The Bible says further in Proverbs 28 and verse 26, it says, in chapter 28, verse 26, he who trusts in his own heart is a fool. Now, that's pretty clear, right? Solomon writes this, he who trusts in his heart is a fool, but whoever walks wisely will be delivered. Jesus lets us know the condition of our heart. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, it says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemes. Do you see where it comes from? Out of the heart. There's that need for that sacrifice has been prepared because God in Christ gives us a new heart, takes our heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, like breathes life into our hearts. But look at what you find with Jonah. You can't follow your heart. It is what the fool does. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. Out of the heart proceeds all kinds of evil thoughts. You might pause for a moment and think about Jonah and his heart as he's being called to go to the Ninevites. You know, he might be thinking, what will others think? How often have you thought that? How often has your heart been more concerned with, like, what are others going to think? Jonah had to think, like, what are the Israelites? What are my fellow Israelites going to think when the prophet of God is going into the enemy territory to tell them, God's concerned about you and he's given you 40 days? Like, no, that's not good. They're going to think some really gnarly things about me. They're going to think I'm a traitor. They're going to think I've lost my mind. Like, is that not what our heart can do? Get us to think about, okay, what are people going to think? What about this? What about me? How often have we put our heart's focus more on just ourself? You see that this is a struggle with Jonah. Jonah gets all happy when later on in chapter 4, when God causes that plant to shade Jonah. It's like this amazing moment in Jonah's life. Jonah's like so excited, like, oh, this little bit of shade that he gets all upset when it gets eaten up and consumed. But why? Because he's just thinking about himself. What about me? If you look at it, remember Jonah's going to the Ninevites. These people are cruel people. Like, what are they going to do to me? How are they going to treat me? I've heard of what they do. Like, you can see, what about me? Look at this heart condition. He's got an overall bad attitude. I want you to see how incredible this heart issue is. You can't follow your heart. Look at chapter 3. In verse 10, look at what God does. He's gone through the city now. You know, God has been merciful and called him to follow through, and he's gone through Nineveh, that great city. You know, 3 days he's given that message, and look at verse 10 of chapter 3. Is this incredible? Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil ways, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Like, do you see what happened? A simple sentence was the greatest, like, evangelistic outreach in the history of the Old Testament. Like, it's incredible. Like, just one sentence, and what do the people do? They humble themselves, and they repent, and they're all tore up over their sin, and God grants mercy to them, and God does not bring destruction on them, and Jonah played a huge part in that. Jonah just went through and delivered the message like he was there. He was like that Billy Graham to that place, and it was absolutely amazing. But look at verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became what? Angry. Do you see what just happened? Do you see where he's at? He has a major heart issue. He is angry. He is prejudiced. He is full of resentment towards these people. He wants them dead. He doesn't want God to be merciful to him. It's okay if God's merciful to me, but not to them. Why? Because it's the Ninevites. Understand that the Ninevites were known as the Assyrians. Listen to a few little things about these Assyrians, and remember that they've got a mighty army that is getting ready to march against Israel. And here's what history will tell us about the Assyrians. Assyrian policy was to deport conquered people to other lands within the empire, to destroy their sense of nationalism and break any pride or hope of rebellion and replace them with strangers from far away. Assyrians were great warriors. Most nations at that time period were looters, building their state by robbing other nations. Assyria was the most fierce, ferocious of all of them. Their very name became a byword for cruelty and atrocity. They skinned their prisoners alive and cut off various body parts to inspire terror in their enemies. There is records of Assyrian officials pulling out tongues and displaying mounds of human skulls, all to bring about stark horror and wealthy tributes from surrounding nations. Nowhere are the pages of history more bloody than in the record of their wars. They are the terrorists of the day. They are the Nazi stormtroopers of the ancient world. These are the people that Jonah's to go to. These are the people that, notice what happens in this brief moment in their history. They repent of it. They acknowledge it. One archaeological discovery discovered a monument to one of their kings, and there was an inscription that was made by the king on this monument, and here was the inscription. The king had this written: "Their men, young and old, I took as prisoners. Of some, I cut off the feet and hands. Of others, I cut off the nose, ears, and lips. Of the young men's ears, I made a heap, and of old men's heads, I built a tower." Like, these are those people. They're wicked. But is that wickedness not also present in Jonah? He was displeased that they had repented. He's mad at God, that God showed them the same mercy that he has shown the children of Israel. He's upset that God in his sovereignty was merciful to them. Look at where it says. You see his heart in chapter 4 in verse 2. In verse 2 it says, "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country?'" You hear that? Like, so you get while he's leaving, his whining and complaining to God, as he's paying his fare, as he's getting on the boat, as he's looking at the moment when the ship leaves for Tarshish. What's he praying? What's he saying? "Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm." Is that a horrible thing to complain about? Do you see how in his heart he's lost it? It's the same kind of wickedness present in the Assyrians. It's the same kind of sinfulness. As God calls him to go up, notice Nineveh or Jonah wants to go down. But look at in all of this how God is sovereignly in control of all of it. And really, truly, this is a book and a message of God's mercy. God is merciful to the Ninevites. He's merciful to Jonah. And he's merciful to men and women like you and me. Even when we realize the serious condition of our heart, our rebellion to run from him, our even hatred within our heart towards others, that we get upset with God when he's merciful to others, God has done a great work to save and to deliver us. And that great work, that great deliverer is the person Jesus Christ. It was in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 40 through 41 that Jesus made it very clear that Jonah is a picture of him, that as Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man would be in the center of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And Jesus made it very clear to the people in their wicked hearts. He says that one greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is that one greater than Jonah who came down, not in rebellion, but came down from heaven to really truly like pay the fare and the consequence of our sin. Jesus came down to deliver the message of grace and mercy. Jesus came down to give you and I mercy to raise us up. You see, there's some warning signs for us. You can't hide from God. You can't pick and choose when you're going to be faithful. You can't follow your heart. But you can follow Jesus and you see that he's one who has come down to this earth, lived the life we could not live, died the death that we deserved, and that the mercy and the grace of God abounds towards us that would believe in the one greater than Jonah, the one Jesus Christ, who died and was buried and rose from the dead and gives forgiveness and life and restores all and any that believe in him and confess their sins. Jonah tried to go down to get away from God, but look at this. God came down in his son to bring us back to him. Father, thank you so much for this evening and this time in your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us things to think about in our life if we call ourselves Christian, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus, if we're to be messengers of truth, if we're to live in your love and in your joy, that we should conduct ourselves in a way that fulfills your commission and your calling, walks in obedience to you. And thank you, Father, that in Jonah's life, you've given us some warning signs to look at. I pray, Lord, for any that may be thinking they can hide from you, that tonight would be that reminder that there's no place they can go from your presence. That everything that they're doing is laid naked and bare before you, that you see what's done in the dark, you see what's done late at night, early in the morning, in every winking moment and second, you see it all. Can't play hide and seek with you. Lord, may we take into consideration that great warning that you can't pick and choose faithfulness, that, Lord, we wouldn't be faithful to go to Bible study, but not, Lord, to go and to be your servants. That we can't be faithful to go and help friends and not, Lord, be faithful to go and evangelize the lost around us. Father, help us to realize the warning that we can't follow our heart. May we understand that, Lord, our heart needs to be cleansed and washed. We need a new heart that, Lord, we're not called to follow our heart, but to follow your word and to walk in obedience to you. May we realize those moments of the own wickedness within our hearts. May, Lord, we rejoice when mercy is shown to our enemy, when mercy is shown to us. May we, Lord, not be like Jonah and run from you and live in any hatred, any prejudice, any disdain. May we not complain about your goodness and your mercy for generations to multiple people. Father, we ask that we would realize above all that you've sent your Son to deliver us from the wickedness of our heart. That while in our following our heart we go down, but God, you sent your Son down to earth to rescue us and bring us up into your presence and into relationship with you. Thank you for that work. In Jesus' name, amen.